So this is a study on up and down design for phase one trials and iteration of different designs, and it should be estimators, more than one estimator. So this work is cooperated with Dr. Mohanty and Dr. Balakrishnan. Actually, this work is for I don't know, a 2002 paper. There's some extension there. So I'll keep this talk basic, so after lunch, you won't fall asleep. That's pretty basic, so if you're an expert in this area, you'll feel that's something simple. So let me give the outline of the talk. First, I'll give a brief introduction. We always talk about what is clinical trial. So what are that? What are clinical trials? Very briefly, I found something in the dictionary. So So phase one trials, what is that? Like in FDA, we have four phases need to go through before we develop the new drug. So what is phase one trials? Then I'll introduce some up and down designs for phase one trials. There are five: the bias cone design, K in a row design, Narayan rule, and we propose something called randomized Narayan rule, and the CRM, which is a Bayesian model. Then we will look at the estimation of the MTD, the maximum tolerated dose. We look at the estimator. This is an non-parametric estimator, isotonic regression estimator, MLE, and the modified MLE. This study is mainly based on a Monte Carlo simulation. We want to look at which estimator is better, which design is better to bring the dose, to bring the patient close to the dose level we want. We'll look at the result and discussion. We'll compare the estimators and compare the design. Okay. First of all, what are clinical trials? A clinical trial is just one step in a long and careful research process that usually starts with an original scientific idea to develop a new drug or new treatment. So we call the drug that's called IND, that's investigational new drug. This is a type of research study, how well that drug works on people. So in medical dictionary, this is the definition: studies involving patients aim at finding better ways to prevent, detect, diagnose, or treat cancer. Wow. Yeah, that's why we are doing clinical trials. Biology definition: the experimental administration of new drugs or medical therapy to human patients. We emphasize human patients in clinical trials. We want to see whether there's any side effect before the new drug or the treatment are available to general population.
But it doesn't have to be cancer, it can be anything.
Yeah, it can be anything. No. Yeah. So in FDA, the drug development process, we have four phases. I will talk about the phase one trials. Phase one trials, that's the first phase, of course. This is a clinical study. In this phase, for the IND, which is the first time it tests on human, okay, either healthy volunteers or some patients. The purpose of this study in phase one, we want to know something about the structure reactivity, which is the dose response relationship and the mechanism of action, and we want to see whether any side effects are there for the drug. Sometimes in phase one study, we want to determine how effective the drug is. Then we can move on to phase two. We don't study all kinds of drugs, we just study some of them. So phase one study usually conduct on 20 to 80 subjects. And the time duration for phase one trials usually is around 6 months to 1.5 years. Actually, from phase one to phase four, the whole process can last for about 8 to 15 years. So I'll just talk about phase one. And so we studied the phase in phase one trials. We use the up and down design. What is up and down design? We go up and go down or stay. So the standard phase one design is a dose escalation trial in which successive patients are given a higher dose or treatment until some of them have side effect, unacceptable side effect. In most phase one trial, the patient in the trial are assigned sequentially to different dose level of a drug, one at a time, starting from the lowest. If unacceptable side effect are seen, we observe that, then we'll, if there's no side effect, then we'll go up. Otherwise, if there's, we'll continue that until there's some, we observe some toxicity or unacceptable side effect. Then the next patient will get a lower dose. What we want to do here, our objective is do an estimation. The goal here is to find a dose which we specify a probability of toxicity. We call it gamma. I'll introduce the notation we use. This is usually referred to the MTD. For ethical consideration, we looked at that before. That's why we want to develop a good design. We shouldn't randomly assign patient to different dose level. This is unacceptable and not efficient in the estimation point of view. So we use up and down designs to govern the assignment of patient, how to assign the next patient to which dose level. So we want to consider ethical consideration and also the efficiency of estimation. So there are several up and down designs. I'll introduce five of them, and they have their own merit. We can see that in the simulation. So here are the notation, and I'll show you this, then you can get a better idea. Can you see that here? This is a dose response curve. We assume that there's a monotonic increasing curve. Of course, we don't know that. We don't know how this curve lands. So all we want is study, use up and down design to study something, get some information about this curve. So what we want to do is the estimation of mu for a specific gamma. Gamma is the specific probability of toxicity. You specify a gamma, like in this example, gamma equal to 0.3. We want to estimate which dose level will give that probability of toxicity. This is our task. And some other notation, K is the number of dose levels. In this example, we have 11 dose levels without the zero. And N, capital N, which is the total number of subjects. Usually, as I mentioned before, it's around 20 to 80 for phase one trial. And mu is the MTD we want to estimate. And gamma is the probability of toxicity that we specify. And oncology, usually, they specify that as 0.2 or 0.3. And DJ is the set of ordered dose levels. In this case, this is a special case, we set DJ equal to J. That is the dose level 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay, it can be other thing, but it have to be ordered. So YN, that is the outcome, and this is the dose level that we assign to the N subject. And I want to use this graph to explain what is Q. We use the notation Q to denote the probability of toxicity. Y equal to 1, that means you observe a toxicity response. This is at dose level DJ. Like this example, at dose level 7, the corresponding probability of toxicity, we denote that by Q7. So these are all the notation, and XJ and NJ, this is when we observe up to the nth patient, we count how many toxicity responses are there, and count how many subjects are assigned to the same dose level. I'll explain that more, use the PowerPoint slide. Here are the notation. And before we go into the design, we have a startup rule. The startup rule is used to before the primary design to bring the dose, to bring the starting point of the primary design closer to the target. It looks like the following. We start at the lowest dose level. If we specify gamma equal to 0.5, then we treat one patient per dose. If we specify gamma equal to 0.3, then we treat 2 per dose, so and so on. Where K is the solution of this equation. You specify gamma. Gamma is the probability of toxicity you want. And then you can solve for K, and you know how you can do the start rule. Go to the next higher level. If no toxicity in the group is observed, then you stop after the first toxicity is observed and go to the next lower level and start your primary design. Oops. I want to explain to you all this. I'll explain what is the startup rule. For example, gamma equal to 0.3, then we'll solve that equation and get K equal to 2. That means, for example, we have 20 patients, then we will take 2 of them and assign them to the lowest dose level. The first 2 patients, we assign them to dose level 1. We observe a happy face. There's no toxicity. No toxicity. Then we take another group of 2 and assign to a higher level, dose level 2. And we observe happy face, and this is a toxicity. Then we stop there, and then we go into the design stage by assigning the next one to the next lower level. This is level 2, then we assign that to level 1. Similar example, we assign 2 each. If we have toxicity when we are at dose level 3, then the next patient should assign to dose level 2. This is the startup rule, which help us to bring the starting point closer to the target dose level. Now I will talk about the 5 designs we used in the comparison. Actually, the problem we are looking at, what is the design? What is an up and down design? Actually, at the point, this is the dose assignment, and this is the these are the response. We have, at the time, we have N patient. The data we have is the first patient, which dose you assign to him, and the response. Same for second patient, up to the N patient. At that time, we ask a question. We have all this information. What should be the next dose level we should assign to the N plus 1 patient? That's the design, what we want to look at. So DN plus 1, which is the dose level for the next patient, it can step down, step up, or remain at the same level. This is up and down design. So one well-known design is called bias-con design, which is, I think, mentioned. Yeah. So I'll explain briefly, since yesterday you have seen that. So we have the end patient, which is at dose level DJ. So we assign the next patient, N plus 1 patient, correspond to that. If we have a toxicity for this N patient, then we'll go down. Otherwise, we'll flip the coin. If we observe no toxicity, we flip the coin with probability gamma over 1 minus gamma. With that probability, we'll go up. And of course, with that probability, 1 minus that, we'll stay at the same level. This is the design. This is called bias coin design. Another design we'll look at is called K in a row design. Once again, the N patient, which is assigned to dose level DJ. If there is toxicity response for this N patient, then the next patient will go down one level. Otherwise, if there's no toxicity, then we go back to our data and look at the K most recent subjects received the same dose level. We look at them and see whether there's any toxicity there. If there's no toxicity, then we'll go up. Otherwise, we will stay at the same level. Okay, this is called K in a row design. The K is the solution of that equation that I showed you before. Another design is called Narayan rule. This one, when it was originally proposed, is for gamma equal to 0.5, that we are using that in other gamma. And this design actually uses all the information we have. And at the time, we have the end patient and the response. We can calculate an estimate of Q at the dose level DJ. We can calculate that by just counting at that dose level, how many patients are at that level, and how many of them has toxicity response. And we can estimate that, estimate all the QDJs. The idea is here, how to assign go up, go down, or stay. If we found that Q had DJ, remember the end patient is at dose level DJ. If that's greater than gamma, gamma is the probability of toxicity we want. If that's greater than gamma, then it looks like we should go down. But we have this rule has one more restriction. We need to look at the K most recent subjects receive dose DJ. If there's at least one toxicity, then we'll go down. The idea is here. Q hat DJ is on this side. We are at dose level DJ. So we should go down to get closer to the gamma we want. If we are on this side, gamma is greater than Q hat DJ, then probably you should go up. But once again, we should look at the K most recent subject received the same dose level. If there's no toxicity there, then we'll go up. Otherwise, we'll stay at the same level. This is Narayan rule. And we try to incorporate the randomization with Narayan rule because we want to avoid some bias. If you look at Narayan rule, that's kind of deterministic. If you give me all the result of the N patient, then I can know what happened to the N plus 1. But here we incorporate the idea of randomization. We let it to be random. The idea here is same thing, we estimate Q hat at the when we have the N patient. If Q hat DJ is on this side, intuitively, you should know we should go down, but we give a probability there. We look at the distance between gamma and Q hat DJ. the larger this distance, the higher the probability we should go down. So relatively, we use 1 minus gamma as the base, and this distance, the larger this distance is, the higher the probability we should step down. So with this probability, we will stay. With this probability, we will go down. Same idea if Q hat DJ is on the left hand side. Oops. If Q hat DJ is sitting here, then we look at the distance between gamma and Q hat DJ. Once again, the larger this distance is, the higher the probability that we should go up. If this is less than gamma, then we look at this distance. We let randomization. With this probability, we will go up, which is proportional to the distance. This is called randomized Narayan rule. So we let, which is a randomized design. The other design I'll introduce is called CRM. CRM is a Bayesian design. It's in a biometric paper in 1990. So we use the restricted CRM, which means we can't assign the dose level which is too high or too low. We just restrict ourselves. We just step up one step, or step down one step, or stay at the same level. We can't step up for two dose levels. So we choose a one parameter dose response model as our working model. This is the probability of toxicity given a certain dose level. And A is the parameter for this model. The whole idea for this Bayesian design is try to use your data. Once you have one more data, we try to update our estimate of A and calculate this probability and use that to design what we should do next. The pi distribution is we set to be an exponential, and we update the distribution, the posterior distribution, once we have data. So assume we have n patients, then we have the likelihood. This is the data, and this is the likelihood. And we can update. This is the posterior density, and we update the estimate of A by looking at the posterior mean. And what we should do next, if we have the estimate of A, we calculate this probability of toxicity at each dose level. Then we compare this probability to our gamma, the specific gamma. We look at the distance, we pick the smallest one that we restrict ourselves, just step down one dose level, step up one dose level, or remain at the same level. So this is called CRM. So we have five designs. We'll compare that. Next, we'll look at the estimation. The target, we want to estimate the MTD. Once again, we'll look at some estimators. This one is called EME, empirical mean estimator, which is a non-parametric estimator. Once we have the dose assignment distribution, we don't care about the toxicity or what. We just want to know, we just need to know the dose assignment distribution. Then we can estimate that. I'll show you an example, then you can understand better what do I mean about the estimator. Another one is isotonic regression estimator. So this is just notation. H is the maximum index such that you have a subject in that level. But the whole idea is, since we know, we assume the dose response curve is isotonic, is increasing. So we use that property. We can, once we have all the data, we can estimate Q by using the same method. We have all the Qs, but they may not be isotonic. So we try to use a PAVA, put adjacent violators algorithm, to make them, to adjust them to be monotonic, increasing or non-decreasing. Then we can pick up which dose is the right one by looking at, by compare gamma with the Q hat. This is, we use linear interpolation and logistic interpolation here. And we have two kinds of estimator. We call it ISLIN, isotonic regression estimator with linear interpolation. And this one is IS, I should say, this is logistic interpolation. This is logistic interpolation, and we have ISLOG. Another method to do the estimation is MLE. Here we assume a two-parameter logistic model for the dose response function. This is the function, this is the logistic curve. What we need to do is estimate A and B. Then we can plug that in and estimate mu for specific gamma. So we, to ensure the existency, then we use this correction, cost correction. Okay. So after the correction, we denote that, I put a C there for the notation. Just don't mix that up with the isotonic one. So here is the MLE. We can fit the logistic regression, get the estimate of A and B, and then plug that in to get an estimate of mu. Another estimator we can consider is called modified MLE. That's the same idea of MLE, but here, since all these things, all these Q hat, they may not be isotonic. So we apply the PAVA to make them non-decreasing, and then calculate the MLE based on the isotonic observation. This is called modified MLE. Okay? Any question? I'll show you an example, very simple example. Then you can know the idea of estimation. So for example, gamma equal to 0.3, then small k will be equal to 2. Number of dose levels, I consider that as 11, and number of patients is equal to 15. We use Narayan design. It doesn't matter, it's a simulated data. A simulator observations, which is based on a logistic model with A equal to negative 6 and B equal to 1. So of course, we know the underlying dose response curve. The true value of mu is 5.1527. This is the true value. Of course, we don't know that. We want to estimate that. So here is the simulated data. The first part is the start rule. We assign two patients at a time. We have no toxicity at dose level 1. Dose level 2, no toxicity. We observe the first toxicity at dose level 3. So we start our design at level 2 and then get all these observations. So if you look at the dose assignments here, I need to explain here, we have 15 patients, but in the estimation, if we use this estimator, empirical mean estimator, we should assume we have one more patient and get this piece of information into our estimation, because without knowing the response of that 16th patient, if we have that, we can still use, we'll still know which dose level we should assign to the N plus 1 patient. And the empirical mean estimator is nothing but the average of the dose assignment after we go into the primary design. So we just 2, 3, 3, 4, take the average of that. This will be our estimate. This is the EME. So what is, let's go back, and H equal to 6, the highest dose level, which has a subject there, is dose level 6. If we go and calculate the Q hat, this is very simple. If you look back in the data, if I want to calculate Q hat 3, we go and count how many subjects they are assigned to dose level 3. We have 1, 2, 3, 4. And how many of them has toxicity response? There's only one. So the estimate Q hat 3 will equal to 1 over 4, which is 0.25. Do the same thing. We have this table. And this one is, you can see they are not isotonic. 0, 0, 0.25, and then 0. That's not isotonic. So we do a PAVA and get this row. And this is the cost correction, and this is after cost correction, and then we apply the PAVA. The idea of isotonic regression estimator is, you look at the second column, since we are trying to pick the gamma equal to 0.3. 0.3 is in between 4 and 5, dose level 4 and 5. So the estimate should be in between, somewhere in between 4 and 5. So we apply linear interpolation or logistic interpolation in between 4 and 5 and get the estimate. This is the idea. And MLE is nothing but using this set of observations to fit a logistic regression and estimate the parameter A and B and plug that back to get our estimate. So here are the estimate just for this example. So after I explain all the designs and estimators we can use in this kind of study, then what I'll do is do a large-scale Monte Carlo simulation study to see which estimator is better and which design is better. So the dose response curve we consider in this way, which is monotone function. Usually people will consider the following models: logistic, extreme value, profit, and generalized logistic. Here we'll consider alpha, the power for the generalized logistic, to be 2. And we'll consider all these models. And here are all the parameters settings we'll consider. And this is for CRM. We shift that. We consider dose level equal to 11. Sample size, we consider 15, 25, 35, and 50. Target toxicity, gamma equal to 0.15, 0.2, 0.3, and 0.5. Number of simulation in each scenarios, we simulate 10,000 times and see the performance. So when we compare the estimator, here are the quantity we'll look at: the bias and MSE. This is simple. How far is that from the true value? And the MSE. Another measure that's recently proposed in a Nancy's paper in 2003 in a study in medicine paper. That's the target bias and target mean square error, which measure the probability of toxicity at target dose, the distance between gamma, and if you use your estimate, you go through the process, you have an estimate of mu. If you plug that in to the real curve, in the real curve, what is the corresponding value, and you compare to the target level For example, you specify to be 0.3, you compare that to 0.3, how far is that? This is a measure of how good your estimate of mu is. This is bias and MSE. So let me show you some result. That's too many tables, so I won't show you all of them, but just give you a brief idea. This is bias and MSE under BCD for different. This is sample size n equal to 25. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. They are different setting of the underlying dose response curve. What I was underlined that is the best one if you look at the MSE. So you won't find one design is better than the other all the time. I mean one estimator, sorry. You can't see any one of them is better than the other. But most of the time, we observe that the MMLE, the modified MLE, it performs better than the others. Sometimes the isotonic regression with logistic interpolation, which is better in some cases. So, but we observe that most of the time the MMLE is better than the MLE. So that means that once we apply the PAVA, before we do the logistic regression, it improved the estimation. So let's. And we observe that even the underlying dose response curve, they are not logistic, like extreme value, profit model. The parametric estimator, the MMLE and MLE, which we need to assume that's a logistic curve and fit that. It works. They are okay, and it means this is pretty robust. So in most cases, MMLE has better performance in MSE and TMSE than the other four estimator. And I, isotonic regression estimator, sometimes performs better than MMLE. So for large sample sizes, the performance of MLE and MMLE, they are very close. So overall speaking, we suggest the MMLE as a better estimator, but also the ISLOG, that's also good. Okay, that's comparison of estimators. When we come to comparison of designs, once again, we need to look at some other quantity that give us a measure. So we look at the MSE and TMSE of our estimator. We pick ISLG and MMLE, which are the best in all the estimators we consider. This is in a estimation point of view, or this is the average squared target error. Another thing we can look at is the average proportion of toxic response. This measure the proportion of patients which will get a toxicity response. This is important because experimenter, they may not want to get too many toxicity response, because it may be harmful. The side effect may be that's very serious. If they want to avoid that, this quantity they should be focused on. So just one remark, if we do not go into the design stage, sometimes we have 15 patients, like all the subjects, they will be in startup stage. Then we'll set all this estimator to be zero, or we skip the case. So comparison of the design. I'll show you some curves that we consider, so you can have an idea about what I'll talk about to divide them into three groups. Here are the curves, just some examples. I have two more. What I mean here is We divide that into three groups by the location of the true MTD within the selected dose level. Like here we select from 1 to 11, that's the dose level we use. So if the true target dose level is around the middle, then we put that in the group 1. In this case, the target dose level maybe tends to be on the left-hand side of the middle. That's closer to the highest dose level we consider in the study. Then that's group 3, okay, right, left-hand side. I'll show you the other graph. This is more extreme, this one. And we also consider on the right-hand side. That's another one to the right-hand side. This is another extreme, that the target dose level is close to the lower level of the dose we consider. So we divide them into three groups and see which design is better in each case. So for group 1, that's around the middle, we observe that the Narayan rule is better designed in terms of MSE, and the bias cone design is a better design in terms of TMSE. And the K in a row design performs better in most scenarios for the second case, right of the selected dose level, so which is higher. And BCD is better in most scenarios for the third situation, left of the selected dose levels, which is in the lowest dose levels we consider. So we also observe that, this is not our observation, but it is well known that the K in a row and CRM, they tend to overdose patients. Since that's, we can use the word aggressive, they are more aggressive. So in terms of toxicity, the proportion of toxic response, TOX, it is clear that BCD gives the lowest average proportion of toxicity response. And the average proportion of the TOX of Narayan and randomized Narayan rule are higher than BCD, but they are lower than K in a row and CRM. So if you try to avoid overdose, as I mentioned before, if you overdose the patient, the side effect will be very serious, then you should use BCD. So BCD is the best choice. Although, if you look at the estimation, BCD may not be the best in terms of estimation. But if your consideration is you don't want to overdose patient, then you should use BCD. From estimation point of view, we look at gamma equal to 0.15 and 0.2, which is small value of gamma. Then CRM is better than the others. This is pure estimation point of view. As I mentioned, CRM, it tends to overdose the patients. So gamma equal to 0.3 and 0.5, Narayan rule and randomized Narayan rule are better designs. And we observe that Narayan rule most of the time is better than randomized Narayan rule. But if you want to incorporate randomization, then randomized Narayan rule is a good choice. So if you want to balance in between the TOX, you don't mind to overdose a little bit, but you don't want to overdose too much, then the best choices will suggest Narayan or randomized Narayan rule, because in terms of estimation, it's better. And in terms of the proportion of toxic response, is not the worst. It's in the middle between BCD and some other aggressive designs. So some future research directions, like construction of confidence interval. Actually, that's mentioned in Lancy's paper, recent paper in 2003, how to construct the confidence interval for probability of toxicity at the target dose. In that paper, you use bootstrap method. So we are thinking maybe some other method can be done in this situation. Comparison of designs with delay response. Sometimes we may not observe right away the response of the patient. Then we don't want to wait. We just go and try to assign the N plus 1 or N plus 2 patients. So what can we do or in that situation, which design is better? And for the Bayesian design, the CRM, we can consider different work models. We can consider two parameter work model or other work model that we can use in the Bayesian design. So here are the references. So that's all.